Wow, things are really heating up. RFK Jr.'s testimony in front of Congress and the Senate revealed that we have a real issue on our hands. Let's talk about it.
The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Chris Martinson of Peak Prosperity here. We're going to talk about this today. I believe that we have just what got exposed here was an extraordinary moral and spiritual battle that's underway. And it comes from just watching the two sides draw down on this issue of how to conduct public health and what public health really means. And with vaccinations as sort of a touch point for exposing just how vastly different and far apart the two sides are. So it was a bunch of contentious stuff. I am not going to subject you to the horror of it all, but here, let me make sure I've got my audio up on this. No, I do not. So yeah, perfect. Okay, here we go. So let's listen in on just some of this. This is crazy. Wait to hear this.
When have you produced the data that you relied on and that this FDA relied on to change those parameters? You did it behind closed doors.
No, the data is all public.
Now parents who decide that they do want their children to have COVID
vaccine. You're just making stuff up, Senator. You
know, sometimes when you make an accusation, it's kind of a confession, Mr. Kennedy. So let's just settle with this. Here's what...
I believe that was a confession on her part. But he said, you're just making stuff up. I mean, I don't know how he kept his cool the whole way, but... she was just making stuff up.
What's going to happen? To Senator Warner's point, to the parents who are concerned all around the country, to people who want to get the COVID vaccine this fall, even if they're under 65, because the boosters have worked, there's been much less serious disease.
Because the boosters have worked. We're going to look at that data in just a second. Keep going.
People do not have the same level of threat and risk from COVID that they used to because of these vaccines.
People don't have the same level of risk off of COVID because of these vaccines. Senator Hassan is apparently unaware that these vaccines wear off in about 3 to 6 months. And worse, they actually, after that point in time, will deliver what's called negative efficacy. I'll show you that data, too. You're more likely, not less likely, to get COVID if you've had the boosters and they've worn off. But all of that's irrelevant anyway, because as predicted and as expected, COVID went from a first bad wave, a second bad wave, to less bad waves called Omicron. Omicron hardly is just, it's a cold now and all of that. So, oh, but that was the vaccines. This is something that the vaccine lovers, the vaxophiles, they always claim like, oh, look, it must have been the vaccines. And then they'll scream at you that correlation isn't causation when you show that all these people died right after the shots, not right before the shots. Oh, that proves nothing. It's a hot mess of non-science. And so that's the whole issue that's getting exposed here. There are people, they are cultists. I think Senator Rand Paul put it best. They have a fetish around this stuff. They're religious in their fervor around these things, which means you can't really bring data to that fight because they don't care about all that stuff. So I'm just going to blow all of her little statements and homilies and belief systems up here in just a second with just a couple charts. It's easy to do.
People who want to exercise their freedom of choice are being denied that. Because you are citing data that you won't produce to the public.
What? One has nothing to do with the other. She's like, oh, but you know, people are being denied access to these vaccines because you're citing data that you won't release to the public. He's over here saying, we release everything now. That's his whole shtick. That's RFK Jr. It's like, we're going to get the data, we're going to release it. That's the whole thing. So how are you this out of touch? Obviously, these people are just grandstanding and they're looking for little gotcha moments that they can put on their 60-second campaign trailer so they can speak to their faithful, their fellow fetishist cultists around all of this stuff. But this has exposed just how badly off the tracks we are as a country, where we can't even have a reasoned, reasonable, non-emotional, scientific conversation anymore. Not a good sign, given all the predicaments we're facing that are going to be kind of technical in nature in energy, the economy, also medicine and health.
You're making things up to scare people, and it's a lie.
With respect, I do not think I'm the one making
you. You are lying right now, Senator.
She is.
Senator Barrasso.
She was just lying.
All right.
Hey, the boosters have worked, she said. Remember this? The Cleveland study? We went over this extensively. Each one of those lines is one of the most perfect dose response curves you could ever hope to have. And what it says is that your chance of coming down with these lineages, so this is original Omicron back here. Now here we're in the XBB lineages and all that out here in Omicron. But if you had zero doses, you're only this likely to get COVID, which is less likely than if you'd had one dose, which is less likely than if you'd had two doses, less likely than if you'd had three doses and then four doses. This is from the Cleveland clinics. I mean, they have 68,000 people working in their clinic area in a very large medical complex in Cleveland. And they tested them and regressed those number of shots they'd had against, did they come down with COVID or COVID-like symptoms? And this is really embarrassing. This is like really clear data. Apparently, Senator Hassan does not know that. But what's really at stake here? What's really being exposed? We'll get to that, what I think it really is. I think Jeff Childers did a perfect job describing it. So we're going to go through that. But first, let's listen in from, and I'm sorry to subject everyone to this if this is not your cup of tea, but let's listen up for a sec because there's something instructive in here.
This is not only about a private company that gets sued and has to pay out. Vaccine manufacturers often operate on very slim profit margins. If they get sued repeatedly and successfully, they simply move out of the vaccine space. We've already seen this happen with vaccines in the past. 20 years ago, we watched vaccines just move away if they did not have protection from these kinds of lawsuits. The consequence of Mr. Kennedy's ability to make those lawsuits easier is also the ability to shut down access and
Well, right now, you can't file any lawsuits because Congress and the Senate passed a law in 1986 giving vaccine manufacturers complete liability exemptions. Okay. And so that's a little awkward because what she's saying is, oh my gosh, if these people actually got, you know, if they had to like be responsible for the products the same way General Motors is or Ford or Apple or any other company, well, then they might go out of business, which means, Senator Warren, this is real easy. In a capitalist society, this is easy. Communists have a harder time with this idea. That means that they have a defective product and they're going to have to work on it to make it not defective. Okay. And if it really worked, your profit margins can actually go up on that because people will actually be clamoring for it. If it's a really bad product that tends to make people sick and harms them, it probably explains a little bit why your margins are so low. Just taking a wild guess there. But this is crazy. Her argument is, oh no, Kennedy might make it so that vaccine manufacturers are actually going to be responsible for their products. That is such an ordinary thing. It's part of every other manufacturing concern out there. Why would you grant a special exemption? So we're going to get to that in just a second because that's what's happened here. She wants, and all these other people, it seems largely to be a congressional Senate thing. Weirdly enough, right now, out of all the current politicians out there in the United States landscape, Kennedy is polling the highest. People love this. If you get a sense from these people that this is dominant central thinking, only in this cloistered chamber of weird, bubbly, like delusion will you find this level of vitriol that, oh my goodness, you know, we absolutely must protect the poor vaccine manufacturers to do whatever without liability. It's crazy, but that's where we are. This was also instructive, and this is, I think, I got one more after this maybe, but that's it. There was just like endless hours of like ridiculousness here. I won't subject you to much
what
more
you
of it.
Have said has contradicted yourself and others. It's I don't even know where to start. So I'm going to start here. Over the last 8 months, you have claimed to make America healthy again. But in actual fact, you have led the charge in the Trump administration to destroy what is best in our healthcare system. And your denials and your evasion and your lies here do not change that. You are the Secretary of the Health and Human Services. Yet you're trafficking in these fringe idea and discredited theories that are completely out of step with the scientific consensus. And you seem to be willing to say anything in the moment. even if it's untrue. So last time you were before Congress, Secretary Kennedy, you claimed, and I quote, "I have never been anti-vax. I have never told the public to avoid a vaccination." But in a podcast, you said the opposite. You said there's no vaccine that is safe and effective. So that sure sounds anti-vax to me, Secretary Kennedy. So let me ask you, when were you lying, sir? When you told this committee that you were not anti-vax, or when you told Americans that there's no safe and effective vaccine?
Both things are true.
Oh, so more denial, more back and forth. I mean, here's what I know. Here's what I know.
Let me explain why, Senator, you just
No, actually, I want you to listen to me.
Okay, go ahead.
I want you to listen.
The patience of Job, that man. He's like, dude, you want to actually hear what I have my answer? No, I just want you to listen to me. So she's going to harpy on and shrilly sort of like misstate all this. It's just, it's gross. It's really unfortunately gross, but it reveals a lot. We're going to have to dig down a little bit farther. This is priceless, though. This is really, really precious. You ever have a situation where you're talking with somebody and they clearly don't understand you, but they think they do, but they have exactly the wrong thing because they've misinterpreted, like they... You're having one of those conversations. It's so awkward to have one. Well, we're about to listen in on somebody having an awkward conversation like that.
To sharing the protocols used for the autism study with Congress and to the public?
They're public.
They're public.
Will you commit to giving it to this committee by the end of the week?
No, not because that's not the way it works.
You
don't even know what you're talking about.
Mr. Secretary, will you commit to sharing the protocols for the study by the end of the month?
We already have
You
put
just said
out-
it's public.
We put out the notice of funding opportunities, and then the scientists from all over the world.
You're not understanding me. Let me
No, you're not
again.
Understanding how the world works.
Do you understand what the protocols
Senator,
are? Do you understand what they are?
The scientists who are doing the studies
yes.
submit the protocol.
Okay, so you
That's
know what
not
they
coming
are.
From us.
Okay. So will you commit to sharing those protocols with this committee?
Well, anybody can get a hold of the protocol. It's published with the study.
Mr. Chairman, what I'd like to ask is for your commitment here.
Are you going to share this with us? They're publicly available. You just click on the website like normal human, and there they are. Or have a staffer do it if that you don't understand the process, Senator Lujan. How dumb? Pretty dumb. Anyway, this speaks badly for our future if this is the level of guidance and leadership that we can expect from these people. I mean, this guy had no effing clue what he was talking about. I mean, that's embarrassing. If I'm his staffer back there, I'm looking at my phone too. They're all like dialed in, reading TikTok, checking out Reddit.
To sharing the
we don't know. So anyway, this is how the New York Times, after all of that, characterized this. Of course, the New York Times is ground zero for misinformation, malinformation, and disinformation. But they said here, quote, "Kennedy rejects criticism, data, and decorum in contentious Senate hearing." Everything that the New York Times does, just flip it 180. So the Kennedy's questioners rejected criticism, data, and decorum in the Senate hearing. Robert Kennedy did a great job holding his own. And if decorum means just sitting there and accepting withering, blithering idiots and lies, he departed with what we would call conventional protocol. He actually stood his ground, and I'm happy that he did, because this is crazy. By the way, how crazy? Well, it turns out Senator Ron Johnson has just revealed today, this is Friday, September 5th, that there's going to be a high-quality vax versus unvax study is finally going to be made public Tuesday. So this is something we've been waiting for. Just listen, give people vaccines and then compare them to unvaccinated people to see how they track compared to each other. Not compared to another vaccine. That's how they've been doing these things. Oh, we'll compare the outcome of this vaccine to another one. That's not a study. Placebo-controlled means saline in one arm, arm of the trial. And in the other, with the active participants, you get the thing you're giving them. One is a completely, completely inert substance, and the second is the thing you're looking at. Then you compare them. At any rate, they ran this study. It turns out an original study was conducted in 2020, and the results have been buried for now 5 years. And what did the data suggest? The vaccinated population is far more prone to chronic illness than people completely unexposed to vaccines. Aaron Seary is going to unveil this next week on Tuesday. This could be huge. Yes. Look, if the CDC had this data for 5 years, then that's a moral abomination. That is a true crime against humanity, as long as you believe humans have rights, as long as you believe that there's this thing called human dignity, as long as you believe in the Nuremberg trials that, you know, individuals have a purpose and value and have inherent rights. If you don't believe those things, well, then you kind of fall down the hole that the CDC has found itself falling down. By the way, I thought J.D. Vance, I'm going to nominate this for best statement ever by a vice president in U.S. history. It's way up near the top where he said, quote, "When I see all these senators trying to lecture and gotcha Bobby Kennedy today, all I can think is you all support off-label, untested, and irreversible hormone therapies for children, mutilating our kids and enriching big pharma. You're full of shit. And everyone knows it," end quote. Look at that, 256,000 hearty hearts. Now, to get to the bottom of this, nobody has done a better job of this than Jeff Childers. And he talks about our current civil war on Thursday, September 4th. Go to his Substack, down there, coffeeandcovid.com. You will find his article here, and it's called The Battle Cry of Freedom. So let's just go through some of this together. He writes here, quote, "In Monday's CNC, that's Coffee and COVID Post, headline Pharmapocalypse, I discussed President Trump's historic Truth Social post questioning the COVID shots for the first time and considered the potentially epic implications. Well, it only took 2 days. Yesterday, the Washington Post ran a story, headline Florida plans to become the first state to eliminate all childhood vaccine mandates. Said Surgeon General Ladapo and Governor DeSantis didn't just push back against jabs, they reframed the entire debate in moral terms instead of scientific jargon, and the freak out was stupendous." And it was. Let's listen in. Here's that clip. It's very short. And Surgeon General Ladapo said,
"But what I'm most excited about is an announcement that we're going to make, that we're making now, which is that the Florida Department of Health, in partnership with the governor, is going to be working to end all vaccine mandates in Florida law. All of them. All of them. All of them. Every last one of them."
And why is that?
Every last one of them. All of them. Every last one of them. Every last one of them is wrong and drips with disdain and slavery. Okay? Who am I as a government, or anyone else, or who am I as a man standing here now to tell you what you should put in your body? Who am I to tell you what your child should put in your body? I don't have that right. Your body is a gift from God. What you put into your body, is because of your relationship with your body and your God. I don't have that right. Government does not have that right. They want you to believe they have that right. And unfortunately, you know, they've been successful.
Ah, that now we are down to the heart of it. This is very different from saying science arguments, jargony arguments, all of this and that. And Jeff Childers called that out, picked that out, and did a beautiful job. So he says here, I love that, "The biomedical authoritarians," he writes here, "went crazier than sprayed roaches. You'd think Florida planned to ban vaccines instead of mandates." Eric Fingledingle, it's not actually his name, but I like how it's been recast there, tweeted, "Florida is now a pro-child death state." Stanford immunologist Jake Scott said, "Florida is destroying one of humanity's greatest public health triumphs for no reason." No reason, right? Urologist and sex med Dr. Ashley Winter called the announcement tragic and whined that students should be forced to swear oaths to take vaccines. It's creepy. The American Medical Association promptly begged Florida to reconsider. The freakout was incredible. Governor Hochul signed an order allowing pharmacists to prescribe COVID-19 vaccines. quick question. Informed New Jersey nurses asked, you know, since when do pharmacists prescribe any medication? And second, I would like to know, if something goes wrong, if one of these rare side effects actually strikes somebody, who's liable now? Have we worked that out? Because I think Hochul should square that up. That would be the biggest, easiest thing to say. Listen, you know, these things are on balance pretty good, but we know some of you get hurt. Here's how we make you whole or try to. No, you twist in the wind, you're gaslit, and of course, everybody turns their back on you because you are a bad reflection on their religion. All right. So Jeff goes on and says, Jeff Childers says, first, quote, I'll steelman the pro-vaccine argument. Its most persuasive form, it goes something like this. Vaccines are a simple and low-risk way to prevent some illnesses and deaths, but some people who want vaccines can't take them for one reason or another. So, to protect those folks, the rest of us should be coerced into taking them. True, the vaccines will also cause some deaths and disability, but fewer than the disease will. It's basic math. Carrying on, he writes here, quote, that argument contains a sneaky trick, and the trick is that it disguises something we call a premise, which is an unspoken assumption underpinning the argument. The hidden premise allows the real argument to be distracted and derailed onto favorable ground for the arguer. They hid the premise, but I won't. Boiled down to its essence, the hidden utilitarian premise in the pro-vaccine argument is, it is morally permissible to kill one person if you can save two. Now, end quote. You know, if you came up to me and said, Chris, we need you to take this vaccine, it may kill you, but it could, even if you did die, it would save two other people. I'm like, yeah, but are these morbidly obese people on mobility scooters at Walmart who have a lifetime of bad eating choices behind them? I'm supposed to risk my life so that they potentially can squeak out a few more, you know, weeks, days, months of some sort of morbidly obese chronic like hellscape of a life. I mean, it really matters, but they don't care because the utilitarians, they play the numbers game for the greater good. When you hear the greater good, oh, this is for the greater good, Chris, grab your wallet and put on your body armor because you know you're about to either get money taken from you or you're about to be assaulted. That's always how this stuff works out. Now, here's what a biomedical authoritarian crew might look like. I can't forget this. Can you forget this? I can't forget this. Some of you are going to try and forget this in your own family structures, but it's going to be hard. Because in January of 2022, Rasmussen polls asked the question, Democrats and Republicans, some five basic questions here. One was, should we fine the unvaccinated? And well over 50% of Democrats are like, yeah, let's do that. Should we lock the unvaccinated at home? Closing in almost 60% of Democrats said, yeah. Send the unvaccinated to quarantine camps? Well, that was about 45%. How about taking children from unvaccinated parents? Yeah, about 30% said that's a good idea. And how about fine and imprison critics of the vaccine? That's closing in on close to 50% of Democrats said that. Note also, some Republicans said the same stuff. So this isn't a clean slate here by any stretch. And we saw this. It wasn't just Democrats against RFK. There were Republicans in there too. So who are these people that think this way? How can they think this way? Because I don't think this way, right, at all. But some people do. So maybe we can understand that. And because Jeff Childers just really dives in and starts to get down to it. And I want to go through this with everybody because this is what we call a framing topic. Once you understand the premise and we can frame this, it makes it much easier to digest. Oh, that's what I'm hearing. Instead of going through all the complicated arguments, you can put it in a neat bucket and say, oh, that's because this person believes in this core hidden premise, which is very different from this other core hidden premise. So once we break it down to the cores, it makes it easier to go on through life. Carrying on, Jeff writes here, quote, because they shroud that premise, the pro-vaccine folks get to shift the argument away from the thorny issue of morality and plunge headlong into a bottomless black hole of jargon-rich scientific debate. In other words, they want to trick us into arguing about the numbers. Well, about vaccine injuries are actually rare. They want us to say, hey, you guys are fudging the facts about how dangerous these jabs are, either alone or when taken together. Don't take the bait, he says. The prevalence of jab injuries is a fair and important debate, but it's an unwinnable argument. Resolving it involves deliberately hard to get data, vast amounts of propaganda, built-in biases, bewildering risk-reward ratios, impenetrable statistics, and fathomless expert opinions on all sides. Thanks to their obfuscation skills, that smoggy scientific argument could last another 100 years, during which time they'll just roll out new medical technologies and claim they've fixed any of those old problems that can finally be proven. So this is why Latipo's it was such a sweet move. Jeff Childers writes again, but yesterday, Dr. Latipo didn't blink. He didn't take the bait. Instead, he correctly challenged their underlying premise. Remember what he said? Every last vaccine is wrong and drips with disdain and slavery. Who am I or anyone else to tell you what you should put in your body? Who am I to tell you what your child should put in their body? I don't have that right. Your body is a gift from God. What you put in your body is because of your relationship with your body and God. Pretty much every state has mandates, but it's wrong. Aha! Dr. Latipo ripped out the hidden utilitarian premise and held it up to the light. He leapt over the scientific jargon and even the legality of mandates and grabbed the issue of morality by the necktie. In essence, Latipo argued it is wrong, immoral, to coerce a human being into taking an injected substance that they don't want. Now, that's very true. This is the essence of Nuremberg. This is the essence of something called informed consent. Now we have it exposed. There are utilitarians out there. The utilitarians are like, oh, but for the greater good and, you know, a public health and yeah, a few people will be injured, but on balance, we will save more lives. It's a numbers game to them. But underlying that core premise is this idea that they, or the experts that they anoint, have the right to make a determination about whether or not you're going to take a risk that's unquantified, unknowable for some abstract statistical numbers game, right? Oh, you know, it's everybody should get a COVID shot because it might slow transmission, which it didn't do, but everybody didn't need a COVID shot, right? If you were under the age of 60 and healthy, your chance of dying from COVID was as close to zero as you can get statistically in this game, right? It just didn't happen, at least once we got into the Omicron stage. So never made sense to put these shots into kids, because why? The kids are going to what? Take the shot so their teachers feel it's about the feelings, feel slightly less risky because the people around them have shots. It was all morally abject. It was an abomination, complete moral abomination. It has nothing to do with public health. What Jeff is doing here is he's exposing the mindset. The utilitarians, aka socialists, communists, they believe in this idea that what we're trying to do is things that are for the greater good of society. They don't believe in individual freedom, individual rights, that those come from something other than the government itself, right? They believe in this thing, which is called communism. It's never worked. It's never worked. It's never delivered a better outcome. It just doesn't do that for people. It does the opposite for very obvious reasons, which we can't get into right this moment. So here he gets down to it, and Jeff just like lays this thing bare. And you should read the whole article. I've just grabbed a few snippets from it. The whole thing is a tour de force, highly recommended, A+. He writes, quote, challenging that basic utilitarian premise, simplified and refined the argument to its essential core. The mistake would be to take the bait of arguing about relative rates of adverse events compared to risk ratios of preventable disease at population levels and more academic sounding word salad and scientific mumbo jumbo. In other words, this isn't a scientific question at all. It's not even a legal question. It's a basic question of right and wrong. In philosophical terms, it's the difference between deontological, deos, God, I presume, deontological, big word, rights-based, versus utilitarian, which is a numbers-based worldview. Aha! So rights-based, numbers-based. That's the setup. Deontologically, some things are just wrong, regardless of the numbers, just like owning people, right? If you owned, like, slaves, forcing injections on them, as if you did own them, violates an absolute right. Utilitarians argue that some people are too dumb or incapable of caring for themselves, like cows, anti-vaxxers, black Africans. Thus, masters are needed to ensure a proper social order, and the rightness of a course of act depends only on maximizing society's outcomes. Minority autonomy freedom may legitimately be sacrificed for the greater good of society. Aha! Now we have the code. We need the framing to begin to understand who we're listening to. And that's why they often there's no middle ground. Like, you can't have a thing go, well, you know what? let's meet in the middle. You believe in this numbers-based utilitarian game. I believe in individual rights. Let's craft some nuanced policy where you can have both. But that would be like crafting a policy that says, well, slave owning is morally wrong, but we're going to allow it under these circumstances, right? You can't do both of those things at the same time, right? Not when it comes to a moral question. So that's what we're up against. That's, if you watch the RFK Jr. hearings, listen to them with an ear towards hearing the people who are basically spouting, and they are emotional and they are angry, their utilitarian numbers-based worldview. They love that. You know why they love that view? Because they're at the top of that pinnacle and they get to dictate to everybody else. It makes them feel good. It's a power game. It's a good thing. But you want to hear it in all of its disgusting glory. We are going to have to, like, I can't believe this is Tim Kaine, Mr. You know, glasses on the forehead. He's out of Virginia. This is unbelievable. Listen up.
The notion that rights don't come from laws and don't come from the government, but come from the creator. That's what the Iranian government believes.
Whoa. He really jumped the shark. He's like, no. The idea that rights don't come from laws and governments, but come from this creator thing. That's what the Iranians believe. Like, dude, it's also what Christians think all over the world. It's also what Jews think all over the world. It's kind of like what people all over the world think. By the way, just so you know. Anyway, let's carry on.
It's a theocratic regime that bases its rule on Shia law and targets Sunnis, Baha'is, Jews, Christians, and other religious minorities. And they do it because they believe that they understand what natural rights are from their creator. So the statement that our rights do not come from our laws or our governments is extremely troubling. The notion...
This is the statement that our rights do not come from the laws and the government is extremely troubling. He's right. That you're right, but not for the reason he said. It's troubling because that's immediately disqualifying. This guy ought to be frog marched out of there. He should never be in a leadership position ever again because he's violating the Constitution and even the, you know, everything in there, right? The creators mentioned in that document. You know why? Because we hold these rights. Where do these rights come from? The rights were not said, oh, well, as a government, we got together and decided what things, you know, we hold these rights. They are self-evident. They are bestowed upon us by our creator. That's how we found it. If you want to get rid of that, that's fine. But you should probably put a motion forward, Mr. Kaine, to say, I hereby say that we should suspend the Constitution and anything it stood for in favor of some other system that I have in my mind. Yeah. And that system is basically state power, which, you know, full state, that's fascism or communism. By the way, those are two sides of the same coin. They're just fighting over the same square on the board because they both believe that everybody, that the people are just cattle and they derive whatever scraps and handouts they can from whatever is given to them beneficently from above. That's what this guy said. This is one of the most horrifying statements I have heard come out of a so-called leader. I don't know how we got to this point in our country. I'm starting to rethink the whole McCarthyism era and thinking I might have, you know, fallen for something and misjudged that, because this is bad. This is bad. I mean, one more time.
The statement that our rights do not come from our laws or our governments is extremely troubling.
Woo. All right. So here's the counterpoint. JFK said the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. Tim Kaine purports to be a Catholic. JFK was a Catholic. Not sure how you could be that far apart, having coming from the same place. But this is the main argument. So you either believe rights derive from power and they're given to you, in which case they're not rights. A right is an inalienable thing, meaning it can't be taken away. It's not separate. Can't be separated. A privilege is something that can be extended and revoked. So what Tim Kaine is talking about is rights. He really means he should be using accurate language, which would be privileges. He thinks every privilege you have is granted by the beneficence of the state and also revocable by the state if needed. Whereas there's another group of people that believe rights simply exist. Okay, so you watch this. This means that this is a moral framework. You either believe it's morally okay to kill people for the greater good, or you think It's not okay because people have individual rights and they should decide for themselves how they want to live their lives. One of those two things. So that means it's a matter of ideology. That means this is a religious war at this point in time. And this could well turn into, right now, it is a cultural civil war. You're watching the two sides break up. You got the red, you know, the blues and the grays, all that stuff. But this is how it's starting to manifest. We see here that health officials from Massachusetts, Maine, Vermont, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, not New Hampshire, met this past week to consider coordinating their own vaccine recommendations separate from Trump's federal government. Same thing is happening in Washington State, Oregon, and California. They're going to come together and say, no, we're going to decide, you know, we don't care what kind of data actually comes forward because we already know how where our belief systems and our faith-based things lie. So that's a great piece of framing. Just understand when you're listening to the world around you now, and particularly these hearings, you're hearing two different types of people. Utilitarians, which is darn close to saying communists, they believe in the right and the power of the state to anoint specific experts who then tell you everything you need to know about how you're going to live your life. And this could be everything from, do you have the right to put a structure on your property to, you know, however you want to raise your children, things you want your children to be exposed to, what you put in your body, what you eat, all of it. You have no rights under that utilitarian framework. Whereas on the other side, you say, you know what? No, I have rights. And by the way, if you're a corporation, you screw something up, I'm going to sue your ass, right? That would be another way to go about this. But that's what's shaping up right now. For too long, people on the rights-based side have been sitting back quietly. It's time to get off our duffs. We got to get out there, get back in local politics, make sure that we're not allowing our local school boards, select boards, health boards, planning boards to get overrun with people who are real activists for the utilitarian side. There needs to be, let's strike a balance if we can, but there are going to be some issues where there is no middle ground. And one of those is going to be about when it comes to the state's rights to inflict what it thinks is correct on my child. That's where the line gets drawn hard and fast. And I think it does for most parents. So at any rate, I'm going to carry this on back at Peak Prosperity for my subscribers. And we're going to be talking, we got to carry this down. We're going to talk about really the roots of the CDC's ugly past, where that goes. Also, this thing called the Fabian Society, because once we understand who and what we're really up against, I think now we can make some plans for how we want to prepare, be resilient, things we need to begin doing in our own lives to get ready for. These people are here and they're not going to give it up without a fight. All right. With that, thank you very much for listening. See you next time. Bye-bye.